Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Tech Raptor Podcast. I'm Robert Scarpinito, features editor.
Rutledge Doggett, site founder.
Austin Souther, staff writer.
And we're here to have a democratic conversation that's been voted in by the Senate and the House and the executive branch to talk about Helldivers 2. Because honestly, it's having a really long moment in the game space. Yeah. It's still like pretty good and very surprising. I haven't seen a game blow up like this since Pal World, which wasn't that long ago.
That was like a month ago.
Yeah, I remember Pal World.
I think the better one is probably Genshin and how it kind of came out of nowhere, similar to this one. Because I think the original Helldivers, it was like top down isometric, and I think it topped out at like 2,000 people, maybe
6,000.
Or was it 6,000?
But can you really compare the appeal of a weeb anime game to Helldivers? I mean, obviously everybody's going to be playing that anime game.
I think Helldivers, every weeb is going to play it.
And then with Helldivers, it's a game nobody expected to be popular. Everybody expected Genshin to be popular, didn't they?
I mean, even for us, it was like, oh snap, this is doing really well.
Yeah,
like, I mean, that was what kicked off a lot of our growth.
I guess I was visionary then.
Like I think the surprising thing about Genshin, we're just going to talk about that real quick, is like, I mean, think about it on paper, right? It's gacha, it's weeaboo waifu anime girls that definitely leans into the waifu shit, which like does have its appeal in the anime space, but like it's a niche in that space, I would say. And then it's gacha, right? Like no one likes gacha. No one's like, I can't wait to play a gacha game, right?
At least, look, man, I guess we're just hanging around the wrong people. I mean, you can see all the manga I have back there. Obviously, I'm hanging out with some weebs.
Yeah.
And they love their gacha.
I'm thinking of like the mainstream, right? Like no one is like, I'm going to play, I don't know, like Uncharted, but then also can't wait to roll gacha shit in my Uncharted game, right? Like I'm thinking of like a mainstream gamer space kind of thing.
Has anybody actually said they can't wait to play Uncharted?
I think three people have. No, I like Uncharted.
Same.
But yeah, I think Genshin just had a lot of like, I don't think people, like nowadays it makes so much sense that it blew up, right? Because it's kind of established this big trend of like gacha is popular. I think right before it came out, it was like, who knows?
Yeah. It was just a sleeper hit, I think, you know, in the same way that kind of Valheim kicked off the whole survival thing. And I think the itch that Helldivers scratches, well, there's a couple. I mean, the big one is just kind of the hilarity of it, the Starship Troopers vibe. But then there's kind of the Mass Effect war effort type thing that, you know, people loved Battlefront 2 and the fact that you could kind of do that galactic conquest.
Oh,
and
man,
we're asking for freaking years, like, can we do this multiplayer? And Helldivers 2 is like, I fucking got you. And so you've got, I mean, we lost Malevolon Creek last week and we saw kind of what that did to Twitter. And like, it's really cool to see a bunch of people just like double down on kind of the liberty and want to kind of work together to fight in a giant war.
It's
kind of cool.
Go on. When you talk about itches that need scratching, and I know that sounds really wrong.
Oh, keep going.
Where's this going?
It does feel that like Left 4 Dead void, because Left 4 Dead is great. I've just played the hell out of it, and we haven't really, personally, I haven't found a co-op game that I've wanted to play like all the time since Left 4 Dead, which has been quite a while. Just taking on the hordes of enemies, you know.
How quickly we've forgotten Back 4 Blood.
Wasn't there another one too? No.
Are you thinking of Evolve?
You might be thinking of, yeah. I mean, they made Evolve as well.
Yeah.
Either way, everybody else forgot about it, so don't worry.
But yeah, I kind of agree that I think that there's something about Helldivers too that is, it hits a lot of good notes in different ways, right? Because I think if you're just looking for a chill, like just jump into a casual co-op game with a friend, it fits that that itch, right? If you're looking for this like long-term campaign galactic war, like I want to help the war effort that will take days of my real world time to do, this game also fulfills that pretty well. And if you just want to grief your friends with a 500 kilo bomb, can also do that too, right? It's just so much fun, like in many different ways.
And there's just all the kind of like unintentionally hilarious things. I mean, you drop a sentry and you're like, oh, it's going to protect me. And then 3 seconds later, it blows you into oblivion. Like, and it's just funny because you can't, like, I don't think I've run into any groups or anything where like people got pissed because you accidentally killed them with a stratagem. It's just everybody laughs and moves on. It's part of the game. So even like, you know, obviously there's going to be intentional griefers, but at the end of the day, the vast majority of it is going to be accidental and usually very funny.
Yeah. A strategy that some of my friends like to do is one of them does take the 380 millimeter orbital, which if you haven't used that, that thing is so not good.
It's terrible. Oh, it's terrible.
So like, it's only useful if you use it from very far away and you're still going to have to use every other stratagem you have. But it's so random that it's like when we're getting fucked and we're like, okay, we're surrounded, we're swarmed, we can't do anything. My friend's just like, I'm going to throw a 380 on the ground. Good luck. Godspeed. let Jesus take the wheel. Because when you're so random where it bombards, you know?
But when you think you're far enough away, you're not far enough away. You just get hit. It's almost like it's intentional.
Mm-hmm. Like, it honestly does feel that way. It does sometimes feel intentional.
Yeah, or when you throw a stratagem with a specific thing in mind and it hits. Like dropping a 500 on a one of the big bio boys and like just kind of creeping up, getting it right underneath them, and then it lands, they blow up, and you're like, nailed it.
Yeah.
It's such a great feeling. Mm-hmm. But when you miss, you're boned.
100%.
Yeah.
That's why you gotta use the orbital laser, man. Till there's like one enemy in front of you and the orbital laser just takes you both out.
That one just feels like cheating though. I haven't used it yet.
It's
I just like blowing things up.
Almost essential, I feel like, in higher difficulties.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot more people carrying it as I make it into like suicide and above.
Yeah.
So that's a question for you too. I feel like, I mean, especially you, Red, I know you get pretty competitive with these kind of games. Like, I know you played a lot of Hunt, you know, in our many episodes in previous times where you talked about
RIP.
It. Are you like really invested in like, I want to be good at level 9, like the difficulty 9?
Yeah, I mean, my goal is to unlock everything in the game and then probably put it down for a little bit until whenever the next update is. And that's usually my cycle with shooters, is do as much as I can. Then when I run out of stuff, move on for a bit and come back for the next patch.
You're one of those people.
Yeah, but it's also just like super fun to just randomly jump into a mission, complete it, and then go do something else. It's very kind of bite size. It's not like playing a full competitive round of Counter-Strike or Valorant, where I'm essentially dedicating at minimum 60 minutes.
I mean, it depends. Like, are you doing a campaign? Because then you have to dedicate like a couple hours maybe in Helldivers.
Not if you're the leader.
True.
Because you can just kick it off, do that first one, dip out, and then come back later and do the second one and the third one.
Oh, that's true. You can like pause it, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of the one benefit, is it's not like you have to do all 3-4 in a row. You just kind of can do it at your pace, especially if you're playing with friends. Like, hey, let's do these first two and then call it a day and we'll pick it up tomorrow. You're able to be a little bit more bite-sized.
If you abandon your campaign, I'm looking at you. You directly lead to the fall of Super Earth. Abandon campaigns.
Is Malevolon Creek my fault?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we have to blame somebody, and you're an easy fall guy.
Yeah, I do think it's interesting, right, that's one of those, like, I think that's a clash of the different ways people want to enjoy this game, because some people just want the bite-sized things no matter what, so they leave the campaigns when they're done, but that directly negatively impacts the war effort, right? So the people who are very invested in the big war game are pretty pissed about that.
If you kick people for not carrying the meta, you are what's wrong. You are a fascist. Because it is really frustrating. I did actually have a match the other day. We were on Suicide. We were doing, I want to say it was a ICBM. We got like, we're heading back to the extract, and then I got kicked. And we had like a ton of samples. We had done every single thing on the map, and I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
That's some
I also carried that team on my back. So that was like, guys, what the fuck?
Yeah, especially like this isn't the kind of game where loot is shared, or well, how to put it,
you have to extract.
You have to extract, but also like because you were carrying the samples, it's not like you were the only one who gets those samples, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like everything is shared, so there's no real reason to kick people unless I don't know they're like intentionally cluster bombing you every time they get a chance to or something, right?
Yeah,
but. I don't know. I do agree.
I've only dealt with that once though, so that was just a really frustrating one because we had like 40 some odd samples, and I was like, "You're kidding me."
Yeah, I don't know. I know that I've seen a lot of like memes and chatter about like the meta and how some people are like kicking people for not carrying the meta. I feel like I am not a competitive enough gamer to for me, my goal is not let's get to level 9 and wreck ass. Like that's not my vibe. I'm more just like let's just jump in and have fun. So seeing these people kicking people because you're not carrying the right shotgun is like I feel it's very counterintuitive to what the game is going for, you know?
Oh yeah, 100%. And I don't even like the shotgun's good, I'll say, like it's nice, but I feel like I do way more damage with some of the others in comparison, but you know, that's also kind of my preference at sniping people from a distance.
Yeah,
like a coward.
What? I mean, it also like depends what you're fighting, right? Like if you're fighting the robots, right, there's like that one where it's like a super armored except for like its eyeball.
Yeah,
so like I mean you can use the shotgun to kill it, but it's also easier if you brought the marksman rifle, right? Like that's kind of I think I've seen like official posts from the Helldiver devs too where like the goal is more for everything to be viable in different situations instead of like only carry this weapon and these stratagems.
Yeah, they're probably going to make some balance changes is my guess, is they have a very particular vision that they have for the game, and I think that they are going to be very ruthless in how they make changes longer term to make sure that that vision is kind of fulfilled, like in terms of like, no, we're not doing PvP, guys, shut up, and stuff like that. Like this is what we want this game to be. It is focused, it is well designed, and they're very focused on that vision, and I think that's a really smart way, especially when you see success like this. Like clearly that vision's working. Lean 100%. Into it.
Yeah.
If they like want to make things easier on us, they need to rein in Joel a bit because he was throwing way too many Bile Titans on me.
Joel, keep it up, man.
Yeah.
No, keep it up.
Let's talk about that. There's a fucking DM in the game. In this 700,000 person game, there's a game master named Joel who's just controlling the war effort, pulling the strings.
I love that he's like, Illuminati. I'll get up in the middle of the night just to make changes. And I was like, that's so cold. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you it's think like, you're safe. It's 2 o'clock in the morning and we're now taking 6 planets.
Malevolent Creek is going a little too well. Let me, throw a wrench in your plan. It's like,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that. I did have a bug yesterday that was like, one, super frustrating, but two, also really funny. In that
what bug? Specify.
So we were moving in on a large nest, and there were chargers in the middle. So I had chucked like cluster bomb, which bugged out one of the chargers and kept spawning chargers until there were 13 of them.
Oh, they're all bugs though.
That was the bug because you could see it and it was like spawning out of one model over and over again. Mm. And I recorded it. I'll have to hunt it down. It was really funny. But yeah. We ended up like surviving and killing all 13, and it was just like one of those like fuck yeah moments.
Nice.
It was a solid like 10 to 15 minute fight.
Are you sure that wasn't just Joel, like, directly jumping into your game?
It could have been.
Fuck you over.
Joel, if you did that, well played. Well played.
Just very intentionally, this game in particular. Fuck this guy in particular.
Yeah.
Yeah. To go back to the PvP comments, I kind of feel like the people who are really asking for PvP, I kind of don't get it. Because on one hand, it's like there's so many other games, like PvP games out there of like all sorts of flavors. Like, why do you need this one to also be one? But mm-hmm. also, we've spent a good chunk of time talking about how it's easy to both intentionally and unintentionally kill yourself and your teammates. Why would that be fun in PvP? Like, you just throw a 380. Yeah. And that's it, right? Like, that's not best. Fun, yeah. Really.
And I can't think of any way to do PvP in this game that makes any sense.
The only way I can think is make the kill streaks like, or make the stratagems like kill streaks in Call of Duty. But then it's like, that's, you're just playing Call of Duty in third person. Like, what's the point of that, right?
I mean, like, the game isn't built like a competitive shooter anyways. So, like,
no, it's just, it's not the vision they had. And I think that. No. It doesn't add anything to the PvP. If anything, it detracts from people playing the objectives.
Agreed.
Which, for most shooter players, play the fucking objective. That shit pisses me off when you're playing like an objective-based shooter and people are like, nope, it's kills. Like, no. Mm-mm. Objective. Please, for the love of God, objective. Mm-hmm. So it's probably just those people that don't actually want to play the objective.
Right. I do think it's interesting how much this game has gone through a bit of a journey since its launch, right? Because, like, you know, it kind of blew up out of nowhere, right? And there was a little while there where even if you bought the game, you probably couldn't really play it because the servers just couldn't handle the amount of people, right? Yep. But, like, nowadays, like, we're recording this on March 2nd, Saturday. I think it's, I haven't had any problem. Like, I can just hop
yeah,
on.
Right,
like, yeah, like, I don't have to worry or, like, plan around, like, okay, I need an hour to log in, like, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, and it was a lottery system, too, which was funny. So it wasn't like you get in and you're number 1,000 in line. It's like, no, you get in and next time the timer refreshes if there's a spot you're in.
Okay, that actually makes more sense because, I don't know, there's at one point in the earlier days when Rob and I were trying to get in and, like, we got in after 30 minutes and then we were waiting for two other friends to jump in. And they just did not get in even after waiting like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But nowadays it's fine. And I think it's probably for the best. And I think they implemented that like 15-minute AFK, like boot timer thing.
Yep.
Which helps with like, because I think there were some PlayStation players where when they put it to sleep, but they're still on their ship, that still counts as like a person in the server.
Interesting. That I didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I heard from a friend. So I was like, okay, that seems like that just seems unintentionally like it's not even that person being shitty and like I'm gonna keep a space in the server, like that's just someone who went to bed for the night or something, right? Yeah, but we're in a good spot now, I think, with Helldiver servers. Easy to get
servers are stable. I think the current max is 750,000.
Mm-hmm.
There's currently almost 400,000 playing on Steam right now.
Sheesh.
Yeah.
So when you consider PlayStation players, it's probably like 600,000, maybe more on right now. I mean, it's still popping off.
Yeah. I mean, it's huge. Like, and it's been funny too to watch early on, like the TikTok campaigns to like get it on Xbox because we need more soldiers.
Yeah.
And I thought that like seeing that level of non-console exclusivity specifically dedicated to democracy was very important.
I do find it funny that there's like a lot of a lot of influences you can kind of feel in this game. Like there's definitely some Warhammer influence, like in the designs, right? There's definitely some like Gundam influence. There's like that one armor in the battle pass that's like that just looks like Gundam. But also there is like I feel some Halo in here. I know I'm in a room with two Halo nerds, so you can speak more on it than me, but I feel Halo in this, and it's not on the Halo machine.
It's ODST-ish, I think, in terms of, like, you know, you go from most of the Halo games with Master Chief where you're just kind of OP, and then you play ODST, and you're just, like, a regular grunt.
Yeah.
I think that maybe Firefight ODST Firefight is probably the best kind of comparison you can make.
I think it's more inspired by like the themes of Halo than like the actual gameplay, because like ODSTs are literally called hell jumpers.
Mm-hmm.
And these are hell divers. They drop from pods. They kind of look similar. I mean, even the ships kind of look like, you know, UNSC frigates from Halo. Yeah. But I mean, obviously it's a very inspired game. There's a lot of different influences beyond Halo. Starship Troopers, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
Terminator,
mean, that's the easiest
I'm
one.
Sure. Like with the automatons.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. I the Starship Troopers, it's like that's obviously the biggest, I think, influence on it. Or the biggest like comparison you can make. I just love the tone of this game. Like from every little bit, it's so good and so tongue in cheek and so funny how it's flipping democracy into fascism.
Yep.
It's so good.
And the vast majority of players buy into that like goofiness. Like you go on the subreddit and people are like, that's not democratic of you, or like, you know, if somebody's like revealing like there's little bits of lore that kind of show that maybe Super Earth isn't as like great and righteous as we think, and people are like, all right, we're reporting this to your freedom officer. So I'm probably reported now and I'm gonna be taken away and you'll never see me again for saying that.
Yeah, I mean, to get deeper into the lore, I mean, isn't there like a conspiracy, like don't tell the other Helldivers this, isn't there a conspiracy that like the people of Super Earth are the ones releasing the Terminids onto the planet, like the government is, to create war, of perpetual war?
I don't condone galaxy? This conspiracy theory, but I think you might be on something.
I think I remember seeing something about that around, because like those illegal broadcasts you're terminating, like I think some of them say stuff about like Super Earth is responsible or something along those lines, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. How are Terminids jumping from planet to planet? That's exactly. A little fishy, right? Man, I'm totally on a list now. Shit. But yeah, like there's a lot of just like cool bits of lore that they're dropping into the game, even though it's not like a story centric game. I think a lot of the stories just come from the actual gameplay itself, like Malevolent Creek.
Well, when we get a new major order or complete a major order too, there's like a blurb that comes up that you have to accept on the world map. That's like, you know, such and such is going on. We need to do this specific action to fuel the war effort. And so like winning or losing the major order of the week also has a little bit of a lore drop with it too, which I noticed yesterday and I thought that was kind of cool. That like, oh, there's actually like a reason for this. We're not just randomly picking planets and saying like, this is your objective for the week.
I noticed like a post on the subreddit. I think this was during the automaton like defense missions. The automatons are taking planets not towards Super Earth, but like northward where their creators are. So they're like trying to, I guess their purpose is to like reunite with their creators.
The next faction.
So that's kind of scary. Like who knows what happens if we let them get up there. And it's just cool to see like all these theories and stuff, even if it's not right. Like, I don't know. It adds to the fun of the whole thing.
Yeah. I agree. I also like the little bits of UI. Like, honestly, the entire UI of this game is pretty good. Like how all the like stratagems are in one place on your ship, your armory's in another. Like it's nice to be able to walk to those things. But then even like the loading screen isn't just a loading screen. It's like you and your squad drop in with some of the best fucking like democratic music, right? And then a fun little tool tip that's like, it ranges from like actually helpful training stuff or like don't drink and drive.
Like, yeah,
it's so good, you know.
And then you've got the store that has reviews. And there's one that's
stars.
Like, no, there's every once in a while there's one that's like 2 stars.
Oh,
and
really?
It's like this review is removed for treason.
Yeah, or it's like it's under review with a freedom officer kind of shit. Like it's so great.
It's really good. And they just have all these little tidbits kind of everywhere that lean into that whole you know, don't be bad vibe. And like, I really, really like that.
Yeah, or just even the lines some of your Helldivers say in the fights, like in, when you're on the planet, right? Like, I love that freedom requires firepower, which just feels so like that's the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Or have a cup of liberty. Pretty, yep. Just so corny, but so right.
My favorite voice line is easily when you're like laying down fire and your Helldiver just starts screaming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. Cackling madly.
Yep.
There's... Even when you get injured, it's like, sweet liberty, my arm! It's just, and then hearing your friends, like, characters saying that, you're like, oh, man, get that shit checked out. It's just funny.
Honestly, yeah, I think my favorites are the ones in pain, which is maybe, I don't know what that says about me, but just the one like, oh, my leg! Like, it's just so fucking funny the way they deliver it.
Yep.
And you just, you hear it, and it somehow still makes you feel like, oh, damn, we're in a war right now,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, and I mean, the tone of the whole thing is phenomenal. Like, I bumped into a TikTok video a couple days ago that was just a filmmaker watching the kind of the intro video and just kind of, not really critiquing, but just kind of being like, this, like, throughout, the tone is perfect. The music placement is great. Like, everything that they've designed around the music and kind of the tone of the game is just really well done and congruent from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And I think that's super important to kind of building this type of community, is just really leaning into that and then getting your community to also lean into it.
Yeah.
And that's huge.
Mm-hmm. Like, it just makes me happy that there's so many people here that are like in on the joke. And it's kind of, it's just, you know, like, y'all, it's an election year. It's a weird year to be in America. And it's just nice to see something out there that's like making democracy funny instead of whatever feelings you might have in the real world, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all united behind a common cause. You know, I was thinking the other day, this is like military reenactment for millennials, you know? Mm. Like...
It's our chance
to just, like, you know, take pride in our service. I mean, look, all the boomers are doing the, like, Civil War reenactments. We're out here fighting a malevolent creek against Terminators.
Hell yeah, dude. Actually, here's a very important question. What is your ship name, and has it changed since you started playing? We'll start with...
Mine is Lord of the Stars, as a Guardians of the Galaxy reference.
Very nice. Did you have any preliminary drafts? Any, because the way they do it in the game, right? It's like you have a blank of blank.
Yep.
And it's like you fill in, like there are choices. You can't just write whatever.
Yeah, I saw that one and immediately was like, yep, that's the one. And then I haven't looked back.
Nice. What about you, Austin?
Yeah, I went with Patriot of Patriotism, as I think a lot of people did.
It's my favorite. I love that one.
It's great, really, but then I'm like, all right, I got to change it up a bit. So I think it's something like Representative of the Constitution or something now.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was debating doing something with family values, because there's something about the phrase family values that is so perfect to me. It's like the perfect lampooning of Christian America that I love.
Yep.
I'm right now, I'm Bringer of Audacity, because that's just so dumb. I thought about doing like Fist of the Constitution, which feels so perfect. But Bringer of Audacity, I feel like it feels right to me for right now.
Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
I love how there's like options for like elected representative and like senator and I don't know, just you can't go wrong with any of them that you make.
Yeah. Yeah, there's even like ombudsman and things like that. There's just some really like fucking super governmental names in there, but it's great. How about we build a little campfire and tell some stories of some of the weird shit you've done in Helldivers? Rhett, do you have any like weird wacky stories?
The one, I think one of the early ones for me was we were on Extreme doing the Rescue the Scientist mission, and we were running around opening all the doors, keeping everything back, and we're like, why aren't the numbers going up? And it's because they had all stopped outside the building, and there were like 25 scientists just chilling there. They wouldn't go in. They were getting murdered by bots until I walked up and started punching them. And after I killed about four, they started going in the building.
What the fuck?
So, yeah. That was an interesting kind of bug to run into, which apparently that was the right thing to do. Apparently, anytime you're under that bug, you just have to hit a couple of them and they'll start filtering through the door. So,
yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, make an omelet, break a few eggs, et cetera, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you just have to put the civilians in their place.
Yeah. Costs a little requisition. But, yeah.
You sacrifice a few for the many, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's democracy for you.
Hell yeah.
Get on the damn ship.
Yeah. There was that one time, Austin, when you and I were playing with the hell bomb. That's still maybe one of my favorite stories, because there's that side mission where you have to blow up like a rogue science outpost or something. And at first, like, it was our first time running into it, so we were like, do we throw cluster bombs, do we like orbital it, like what do we do here? And then we looked like, oh, there's a stratagem. They give you a contextual stratagem for hell bomb, right? So my brain was thinking of it like an orbital, where like when it lands it explodes, and when hell bombs explode is big. So I put it like right next to the building and started running, but then we found out, oh, when it drops, it's like it's just there, and then you have to prime it by putting in a Street Fighter code. So the way it landed, the terminal was facing the building, and whoever would put in the code was pinched between the building and the bomb, so they couldn't they couldn't leave.
Nice.
And that person was me.
Yeah, I also discovered it the hard way. So you were like, oh, I guess this is the sacrifice for democracy.
I'm like, go on, run, I'll do this,
go on without me,
went out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah,
that's funny.
It's just so funny, like watching it from afar and like seeing, because when you see a hell bomb explode, it's huge, right?
It's big.
But there's just something funny about seeing it blow up, and then also the notification of Helldivers died.
Even after that experience, you still throw it in the corner, like it's a habit of yours now.
Yeah, the second time I did, after now I'm like, I know, I've learned the language of the game.
Yeah. That's funny. I like that.
I guess most of my stories come from when I'm playing Robert and his friends, but like very recently we were extracting, and it was obviously like super hectic as it usually is, and I'm running to the dropship, and Robert just like looks at me and shoots me in the face. Just like stands still for a second, looking at my corpse, turns around and runs into the dropship without calling me back in.
I was trying to shoot some bugs behind you, and I had the breaker, which is just it's powerful for its own good.
Yes.
But I thought I did throw down. I will not accept this libel. I did throw down a reinforcement, and I thought, well, okay, I threw it down, so the game is recognizing there's still a hell diver in play. I'm gonna run into the ship.
Nope.
And wait for you.
That's right. That did happen, because I respawned, and there were just a whole bunch of bugs around me and no ship, and that's how it ended.
Yeah, so now I know too, you need to land, like the reinforcements need to land before you get in.
Before you go in. Yep.
Yeah.
So much for No Man Left Behind, right?
Yeah, I learned that lesson pretty early on too.
Yeah.
I also learned not to trust Rutt with a grenade launcher, because he will absolutely kill you with it.
That's true.
In my defense, I shot, it bounced off armor and came right back at us.
Actually, that is hilarious when that happens.
Yeah.
And then I got domed by RNA because I ran in front of him while he was sniping.
Yeah.
So. Well,
you did it twice. The first time you were good, and then the next time you were not.
Yeah, well, join the group. You gotta push up.
Yeah. Oh man, and there's just so many times like the 380 has just fucked everything. Like, yep. Even if you think you're far enough away, it lands directly on you. Like, it's the worst. It's the fucking worst.
Orbital. Yeah, cluster bomb too.
Yeah, I do.
It's kind of hard to gauge like how it's gonna cut across.
Is it going horizontally or vertically? I think about that every time. I'm like, all right, God will decide.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the same with the napalm. Do either of you use that?
Yeah, sometimes.
Not much. I used it a little bit last night on a bug campaign, but beyond that, I pretty much stick to like cluster bomb and mostly the eagle stratagems.
Yeah, Same. I like the Eagle stratagems a lot. Like the 500 kilo and cluster bombs are like almost must-haves for me. Mm-hmm. But the napalm,
especially above like hard.
Oh yeah, napalm I haven't used. I haven't unlocked it, but I never know how it's gonna work. Like when you throw it, and then what direct? Because it does do a line, creates a line of fire, right?
So,
yeah.
Yeah, but didn't we find out like only you get hurt by the napalm, not your friends? Because I've ran into like people's napalm and it's been fine.
Yeah, but you still scream in pain. So I don't know if it's a, I don't know if it's a bug. Yeah, or if it's intentional.
It may have been fixed already. Who knows? I haven't tried to run the napalm recently.
Mm-hmm. But the 500 kilo does feel really good, and it makes me want to really rush getting specimens to unlock that eagle stratagem, where it's like you get an extra one thing for each of your eagles. So it just doubles your 500 kilo capabilities, which is nice. Yep.
I'm working towards, I'm focusing on those and the robot, like the sentry ship upgrades, because those two just feel kind of essential. Like the orbital laser is good, but the rest of them just aren't, in my opinion, as useful as maybe the eagles and the sentries.
There's an orbital railgun that's supposed to be pretty good too. Like I was running with some hardcore folks, and they were running with that, and it would just like one hit kill the bio titans.
Yeah
Like I do want to get that one, because I think the hard thing with orbitals is they're really hard to aim, more than eagles. And I wonder if, because I saw there's like that one orbital like upgrade you can get, which just lowers the time it takes to shoot it by like 1 or 2 seconds or something.
Yep.
So I wonder if that would help, because like with the eagles, usually they're like within 3 seconds, you know.
Yeah, I have that one, and I mean, it feels very quick. But when it comes to the orbital laser, it just tracks like the highest or most powerful enemy, so you don't really need to aim that as much.
Exactly. And same with the railgun, right? The railgun, it kind of automatically goes to the biggest. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why sometimes with the Eagles, I also take like it's a 110 millimeter rocket pods. Because those do a similar thing.
I've been carrying those a lot.
Yeah, they track the biggest enemy. So usually is a direct hit on like a charger or a Hulk or whatever your like big thing is near you.
Yeah, some of the ones that track the larger seem like, as you get into areas where you're having like multiple Hulks and stuff, might be super useful.
Yeah.
I think we were doing... I landed in a random party the other day that was just doing suicide defense over and over and over again, and we were completing it in like 60 seconds, extracting, rinse and reboot over and over again. So we farmed like 100 medals in maybe like, I don't know, a half an hour or so.
Wow.
Shame on you.
Once you get to suicide, it's just like Hulk.
I believe that.
And it was pretty fun though.
You're the reason we're losing planets, Rut.
I honestly do think that needs to be retooled. That like that problem is, it does feel genuinely like an issue in the game's balance, because it's kind of silly that you can do one of those defense missions like at worst in 5 minutes, right? Like they're so quick compared to like any like ICBM type missions or like clear out the nests or whatever. Like those are like 15 to 40 minutes.
And the trade-off there, though, is samples and medals and super credits that you can find kind of littered throughout the world. So there's kind of like a trade-off that if you're just doing the defense, like all you can really get is medals and maybe some samples if you explore enough.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do the larger missions, you're getting, you know, significantly more rewards and experience and things like that.
That's true. Yeah.
I think the problem with
kind of a trade-off.
Some of those defense missions is that it almost always has, or maybe it always does, it has like a escort the scientists or whatever, escort the civilians to like the bunker. Mm-hmm. And if you're fighting automatons, they just throw like way too many robots at you that you just can't do anything, or at least that's how I feel.
Yeah, automatons are definitely like a step above the bugs, but I am hearing that at higher levels the bugs are significantly harder than the automatons. But I haven't gotten far enough or felt comfortable enough to play at that level yet. So I guess I'll find out soon.
I think they're both hard in different ways, right? Because like with the automatons, they can fuck you up from afar. Like I have been clipped so many times by a rocket Like those rocket mechs are so like fucking precise.
Yep.
Those mortar turrets are just like terrible too, you know?
Yeah. But then on the bug side, like even in the like the medium difficulties, even though like five's called hard.
Yeah.
Like once you have like two or three chargers around you, it just gets really difficult to manage that. You know, like what? You definitely need your distance.
What we figured out yesterday was so anti-air missile launcher, the single fire, shoot them in one of their legs and then shoot that leg and they die very quickly.
Oh.
Basically just like shoot the leg, it loses its armor, you hit it a couple times with the breaker and it's down.
So I wonder if that works with autocannon too.
No, autocannon bounces off.
Yeah.
But if you hit the armor with the anti-tank and then hit it once with the autocannon, it's instant kill.
Interesting.
So that's kind of been our combo lately, is one of us carries the eats and one of us carries the autocannon and then just blow them away.
Right. Yeah, I feel like I didn't unlock that expendable anti-tank thing, because it always just felt to me like it's expendable, like why would I bother with it? But then I didn't realize how much higher firepower it has.
High firepower, very quick
cooldown
recharge.
Yeah,
so like for defense missions or things like that, like you just throw it down as soon as you spawn, and then every time it spawns throw another one down, and then you've kind of got an easy high damage thing that you can throw at tanks or hulks or, you know, chargers, all that stuff.
Yeah, I'll have to mess with that one for sure, because it's also pretty cheap in like the requisition store, like it doesn't cost
it's early
that much,
on
so.
yeah
because I don't know, part of me wanted to save up for like orbital ones. Like I'm definitely saving for the orbital rail cannon, but the I don't know, just a lot of the other orbitals I'm kind of about. Like I really wanted the EMS, like the EMP kind of strike, to be useful, because that's the one that like stuns the enemies, which feels like, oh, do that to like a Bile Titan and then you can like perfectly nail a 500k on it. But I don't know, it feels like it doesn't work half the time, or just like it's so hard to aim, it needs to be like precisely on the enemy.
Yeah. And I think there's certain ones that I think like they're tailored to specific types of missions.
Yeah.
You know, like obviously you're not going to take a sentry on a Bile Titan mission. I mean, I always carry a sentry that way. If I want to run away from enemies, I just chuck it down and run and it mows them down. But like your loadout is definitely meant to be changed based on what mission you're playing.
Yeah.
I feel like it there's also
go ahead.
Like a lot of stats that we don't see. I mean, actually they confirmed that, like, especially with just the different guns, there's like maybe 50 different stats and you only see like five.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think people know like the full potential of everything just yet.
Yeah.
Like I saw somebody using the gas like bombs, which I'd only seen once before, and that was in a really high difficulty. And I never really considered using the gas before, but maybe there's something more to it than just, because you know, you see big boom and it's like things are gone immediately. It's great.
Yep. But very satisfying.
It's so satisfying. But yeah, I've heard too that the gas is actually pretty powerful. So I don't know, maybe I should play with that too, because I found people who have a lot of different strategies, like they're pretty creative with it. And I think like there's one with the defense, or not the defense, the civilian rescue one, right, where like I've seen a strategy people do at higher levels is everyone drops far away from the spot where you're supposed to like save people, and they create a bunch of firepower and shit there to attract most of the enemies to them. And then another person, they run with like scout armor, light armor, you run in with smoke grenades so they don't see you helping the civilians.
Interesting.
Yeah. And like pretty that's cool. Pretty smart. I wouldn't have thought of that, you know.
And the fact that it works from what you say is really cool. Like there seems to be so much versatility in this game and how you play it. A lot more creativity than like what you would expect.
Like that's kind of why I don't want them to release all those like the 50 number values for every weapon and stuff, because I think
people just nice min-max it.
Yeah, because it's nice to know some of the things but not all of the things. I think there's some fun in the mystery of it and just kind of using what you like to use or what feels good to you, You know, I think that's a lot more interesting than I use this gun because it's the best, like objectively.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the current stats that they have are vague enough that, like, I think it's good. It doesn't really matter much. And you kind of learn from using them, like, what's good, what's best against what, and that type of stuff. So it keeps things very, like, different from match to match instead of, like, this is the meta, everybody carries the exact same thing, which is, in a lot of games, just really annoying. Like, I don't want to be limited to a shotgun. I'm not a shotgun player. I don't like shotguns. I want to carry either, you know, an assault rifle or a marksman rifle.
Yeah. Although Breaker is kind of like very loosely a shotgun.
It's barely a shotgun.
It feels like an assault rifle.
Yeah. It's an assault shotgun.
I feel like the stats are like the Mario Kart 8 stats. Like, they kind of matter, but they kind of don't.
Yeah. I mean, the only things that matter are damage and capacity.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Everything else, like, recoil, and then I can't even remember what the force stat is. It matters so little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I'm totally down for this. Like, use what you like. Use what you think is fun.
Mm-hmm.
That, to me, is more interesting.
100%. 100%.
I do wish, though, that they had loadout, like pre-selected loadouts you could build. Like, you don't have to choose that many things before you drop, so it's not that bad. But it'd still be nice to be like loadout 1 and 2 and 3.
Like, it's like, this is my preferred assault loadout. This is my preferred defense loadout. Like, stuff like that would be super nice.
Yeah.
But again, it's, you're selecting what, 4 things? So it's not
5
a huge deal.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends. Like, I'm always, for bugs, I usually do like light armor, and for robots I do heavy because of the rockets. And so having to change between that all the time, I don't know. It's just like, it'd be a nice convenient feature.
Yeah. But it's also not like
a huge deal. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like, oh, this game's awful because it doesn't have, like, no, it's just a nice little thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Helldivers 2, guys, it's fucking cool. It's a very pleasant surprise this year amid all the JRPGs that are coming out in this first quarter.
It's one that I think is going to have really good staying power this year. Mm. Like, really good staying power. Just because they've already started to talk about the roadmap. They clearly have plans. And it's not, because of the war effort, it's not static.
Yeah.
So, like, there's a lot more to it. You don't necessarily have to fight the bugs every day or always fight the automatons. And then there's going to be this third faction. And I think that this is one that we'll probably see maintain high numbers for a while, which is great to see. Like, the fact that it's still sitting at almost 400,000 right now on Steam, what, 3 weeks after release? That's, you know, as someone who watches releases and watches numbers, like, that's really strong.
Yeah.
From a multiplayer perspective.
And I do like, too, that it's not to say early access games are bad, but it is nice to see a game that's like this and also not early access. Like, it's a full release, and it's like everything they're building on from here is just the live service part of it as intended, instead of like, we're gonna add, you know, this major functionality to it eventually, right? Like it doesn't feel like it's an incomplete game right now.
Agreed. Yeah, like, no, it definitely feels feature complete with more to come.
And they're not like shoving microtransactions down your throat either, which helps.
Yeah. And I know, like, nowadays, right, that difference between early access or live service, it's a sliding scale nowadays, right? Like, it's kind of similar, but I don't know, there's just something nice about knowing this is a 1.0 and we're looking forward to 1.1s or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and they did state that the free battle pass is going to be perpetual. So, like, I appreciate that as well. You know, it's kind of the Halo wave that they've got the different battle passes that are individual, and you can keep going back to them. But there's really no pay to win. You can earn the premium currency just by dropping into matches and exploring. Yep. Like, they're very much like, if you want to support the game, cool, but if you don't have the money, you can still grind out or obtain the currency. So, you know, I'm at 1,000, I think, right now. And I haven't bought anything off the store, but I'm only halfway through the free battle pass. And I have enough to, if I had purchased the upgrade edition, buy the premium battle pass.
Thanks.
So,
yeah. No, overall, it's a very... I mean, it's $40 up front, but after that, it feels pretty consumer friendly. And if it's your vibe, like, I think you're going to get more than your money's worth out of it.
Yeah. I think a lot of players are in the boat of like, if I enjoy this game and I play it a lot, I'm willing to pay for the battle pass.
Yeah, it's like a tip jar.
I think that is, I think, the best way that games can probably monetize going forward.
Agreed. But I think that is a wrap for us for this week's episode. Helldivers 2. Honestly, dead ass, I'm gonna dive in right after we're done here. Like, that's how good it is, you know. We're just itching to play. So we hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the Tech Raptor podcast. If you did, hit subscribe. If you haven't, let us know in the comments below, what's your favorite stratagem and why is it the 500k? We didn't want to know, you know. But also, if you're one of those gas users, do let us know, because I want to know, like, what's the secret behind that as well, right? We publish every week, so you can tune in next week for another episode, especially if you hit subscribe. It will give you a notification, and et cetera, et cetera. But otherwise, we will see you next week. Bye-bye.